Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. I'm Chris Alford, the host of the program and also the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith Christian church in Sacramento, California. As always, I love to encourage you to zip over to the Epiclesis website. It's epiclesis.org. You can learn all about us and find out how to join us for worship on a Sunday morning, which we'd especially love you to do. By the way, you can also find out what in the world an epiclesis is, which will be very interesting to you, I'm sure. On this program each week, we love to bring you a wide variety of guests to talk about this thing called ancient future faith and what's going on in their lives and ministry and so on. And in the studio with me today, live, is a dear friend, an old friend of our church, and somebody who's done almost, well, everything, Dr. Glenn Collard. Hi, welcome, and thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Chris. Great to be here.
Well, I'm so pleased that you're blowing through town with your wonderful wife, Diane, and we're going to talk with her as well. But just for the sake of folks who might not know you or what you're up to, just give us a little thumbnail sketch, a little something-something about who you are and what makes you tick. And then we're just going to talk. You know what? I realized we didn't talk ahead of time about what we're going to talk about, which either will be wonderful or disastrous. I'm not sure which. Knowing you, it's going to be wonderful.
Well, thank you for the confidence and all that. I have been in my first life in education, my second life a pastor, my third life, which has been now 35 plus years, in international missions work.
Yeah.
Diane and I have labored and ministered together for all that time.
Yeah. It's been a long haul, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong. You were a music minister back in the day, yes?
Yes.
And also a public school music teacher, yes?
Christian school.
Okay,
yes.
Right, okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then for a long time, you've been doing missions in Europe. But tell us about the biggest chunk of that, because I'm afraid I'll get the details wrong.
The biggest chunk of the 35 years would be in Europe. And the Lord called us there. It's a long story, but to shorten it real quickly, in 1990. The wall had come down, and we had been going behind the Iron Curtain to deliver Bibles and do training conferences. And then the Lord called us full time into mission work, and so we lived there until 2004.
I was going to say comparatively recently.
Mm-hmm, yeah, 2004. We moved back to the U.S.
It was the fall of the Berlin Wall and the Iron Curtain that took you to Europe, and I suppose that really opened a great door for all kinds of work there, yes?
Yes, well, actually, it was, I didn't say that very well. It was actually before the fall. We were smuggling Bibles before that all
right,
happened.
Right, yes.
I think that was starting probably in 88, and mm-hmm. then by 90, all of that had happened, and we moved to live in Europe.
What country primarily?
Well, I was with Greater Europe Mission at that time, and I had a Europe-wide responsibility because I was the regional director for Europe, Southeastern Europe, mm-hmm. for a number of years. And then they moved me to a different position, which it became my responsibility to oversee our church planning evangelism work throughout Europe. So I was all over Europe. I've been to almost every country in Europe.
Wow.
During that period of time.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with Dr. Glenn Collard. He and his wife, Diane, are longtime friends of our fellowship at Epiclesis, and he and his wife have been involved in one way or another in international missions, all kinds of mission opportunities. And Glenn, just because you moved back to the United States does not mean that you've stopped being missional, right?
That's correct. Well, first of all, I believe all of us believers in Christ, as part of the church, we have a missional responsibility that goes on wherever we are. But certainly we continue to be serving the Lord in a missional way, some in Europe And then what I've been doing in the last 6+ years that's based in Charlotte, as I work with what I call the wider church. I'm referring to the three streams of the church, the Eastern Church, the Western Church, and Protestantism, as we come together in our cloister and seek to practice the call of Jesus and the prayer of Jesus for unity for his church.
Well, there you've said a lot just there, and we need to break that down. Let's start first with the name of your ministry. I want to be sure and get that right and send people to your website, etc. Let's just nail down what the purpose of that is. Sure. And then let's talk about how you're doing that.
Coram Deo is the name of my ministry. That's a phrase from that literally means before the face of God.
Coram Deo.
Coram Deo. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that becomes, and that's really my own personal focus as well. Mm. The Lord just gave that concept to me about nearly 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we have continued to work that out and different ways.
So and you guys and that ministry are based in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Correct. The mission statement that I use for Coram Deo is that we are calling the three streams of the church to experience unity while accepting diversity.
Yeah, because we are at least three streams, right? Mm-hmm. I think our Eastern friend, well, I, goodness, there's so many branches, it's hard to keep up with. But I like the way that you have broken it down basically into three branches, mm-hmm. the Eastern Church, the Western Church, which there has been detente over the last few years.
Yeah.
And of course, what may broadly be called Protestantism. Glenn, you're seeing and doing this unity thing every day. Tell us a little bit about how you're doing it and how the mission of Coram Deo is going about attempting, at least, and succeeding, as far as I could tell, bringing these streams together.
Right. Thank you. We have what we call a cloister that meets once a month, September through May, once a month, the second Thursday of the month, and people are invited to join us from all three streams, and I have people representing all three streams as a part of the cloister. So when we come together those times, we are exploring the concepts and the practice of the early church, particularly the first 500 years, not exclusively, but kind of a focus that way, to recognize that we all share the same basic core. And when I say core, I'm talking about Father, Son, Holy Spirit, talking about Jesus, fully God, fully man.
Yeah, the essential tenets of the faith.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, orthodoxy.
So we focus on those things and not on the things that we practice in ways that are different from each other, because those become divisional.
True.
And
yeah.
So that is essentially and part of what I do there also is bringing people together is I sit down and have personal times with pastors and leaders who are part of the cloister and anyone else who wants to be part of it to encourage and come alongside them and consider how I might encourage them, pray for them, support them, and hold out the standard of finding value in relationships of ministry and experiencing koinonia,
mm-hmm.
that sense of fellowship.
Across denominational
divide. And yeah. I'm finding everyone is finding it a really refreshing thing because, you know, what we find is we tend to be, shall I say, sequestered in our own little realms.
Sure.
So to be given an opportunity, people are really responding to that, and I'm grateful that the Lord is using it.
You know, especially these days, I really appreciate, and I was talking with someone about this the other day, you taking time to define terms ahead of time. Especially today, it seems important for us to stop and say, okay, when you say evangelical, what do you mean? When you say Protestant, what are you actually saying? And then I love the way that you are focusing on essential tenets of the faith and letting non-essential things go to the side. I happen to think that is so important for us these days because, gosh, when everything around us has somehow gotten politicized, it's important for us believers to say, no, 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 no. Here are the essential tenets of the faith. And all this other stuff, from the mundane, say the color of the carpet, or, and I've seen churches split over that, yes. to say, I believe that Jesus is going to come back in this particular way. Those things are non-essential. That Jesus is right. going to return is essential. Right. How and when is a non-essential item. And there are so many essential tenets of the faith for us to focus on. And you're making my heart sing. You're going back to the early church to find those places.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The whole concept of unity that is presented to us in John chapter 17 as Jesus prayed it to the Father, that his people would be unified. We would experience unity. And what I've found in my own life, and I had to repent of this a few years ago, is recognizing that I had redefined what unity really means in that I was thinking of unity of, if you believe what I believe, then we can be unified and I don't care about anybody else.
Right, right.
That's not what Jesus meant. It is loving my brothers and recognizing that they have value that they can bring to me in relationship as Christian brothers and sisters. And we can display to the communities in which we live a sense of unity where we accept one another, support one another, pray for one another, which is not the same thing as requiring everybody to believe exactly the same thing.
Yes, yeah. That last thing that you just said, that is so important because especially these days, Glenn, people need to see that we're all on the same page, at least when it comes to the essential tenets, and that we're operating in unity as believers because, frankly, there are a lot of competing narratives out there, and some of them have or at least seem to have a lot of power. I think that's terribly important, what you've just said.
It is. And what I'm experiencing is people are really enjoying this kind of koinonia, as I keep saying.
And define that for folks might not realize what that is.
Koinonia is fellowship, essentially just fellowship. As it is that which we identify for ourselves as being ultimately important, and hearing and learning from each other. So that's experiencing that.
Let's talk a little bit about the cloisters, but let me remind folks that they're listening to an interview with Dr. Glenn Collard. He's a buddy of ours at Epiclesis. He and his dear wife, Diane, are visiting us, and we always love it when they come through town. They're based in Charlotte, North Carolina, where they're both as busy as it can be with all manner of ministry and mission. Just before the break, Glenn, you were talking about something called cloisters, and folks who have been listening to this program, especially over the last year, know that that's a concept that's very near and dear to our heart, as we have created very special places of intimacy, small groups called cloisters. And you were doing cloisters before cloisters were cool. Tell us about what in the world that means, cloister, and what you do at your cloister. What does your cloister look like?
Yeah, it's, well, our time of meeting as cloister essentially is a time of where we gather in a space that we determine. It can vary from church to church where we meet or even other places. So it's just a temporary spot where we meet for the purpose of meditation and prayer, scripture, discussions, and the like. And it's all related to, as I have already said, the practice of the early church and the creeds and the doctrines that were developed for us then. So we're discussing those things. But in our time of discussion, we're considering how to love one another and how to value one another. Thomas Merton is a former Catholic monk.
Yeah, a Trappist monk who was cloistered himself at the Abbey of Gethsemane in Bardstown, Kentucky.
Yes, exactly. No longer with us. He's in the presence of Jesus. And he wrote something that I picked up on because I think it really helps to identify this idea of uniting. He said, and I'm quoting, "If I can unite myself in my own spiritual life, the thought of the East and the West, of the Greek and Latin fathers, I will create in myself a reunion of the divided church. And from that unity in myself can come the exterior and visible unity of the church. For if we want to bring together East and West, we cannot do it by imposing one upon the other. We must contain both in ourselves and transcend both in Christ, end quote. Right. That captures the spirit of what we're trying to do.
Yes, and adding that third stream of what you are loosely calling Protestantism.
Yes.
You want to tell people what a cloister is and how you got the name?
Yeah. Well, the cloister, it's the terminology of the early church and has been carried on by the traditional church, particularly since the church began, I assume. And the cloister is that time where you just are meeting for the purpose of meditation and prayer and personal fellowship, which we're calling koinonia, with one another.
Back in the day, and particularly the monastic tradition, and those of you who have been to Europe to visit these wonderful cathedrals and monasteries, probably would take note of a colonnade that surrounds an interior courtyard of some kind. That architectural feature of that walkway on all four sides with columns usually is called a cloister. And that became a place where the monks or other folks who were part of that religious community would come and just sit and talk about the day or discuss scripture or walk along beside each other, which I love that picture. And that sounds like that's exactly what you guys are doing at the Charlotte Cloister.
Right. And as we meet, when we first come together, we are spending a little time connecting with each other from the month before when we last met. And then we focus in on what we call matins, which is another one of the church, early church practices, which is dividing the clock, the time of the clock, into various hours of the day. And the matins goes from early morning, and it's today used a little bit into later early morning, mm-hmm. where we read scripture, we pray together, and sometimes we sing and that sort of thing. And then we follow that with some sort of presentation that will be focused on the perspective of someone from the Orthodox Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, or the Western Church of Catholicism, or the Protestants. Mm. So that gives us opportunity to hear their perspective on a particular issue. It can be something of the practice of the early church, or it can be a particular scriptural text and how we approach it, and just helping to understand the perspective of each other as a part of the valuing. And it's important to recognize we're not talking about relationship and learning to tolerate one another.
Right, right.
We're talking about learning to value one another, because that's very different.
You know, that's so darn good. I wished you'd say it again, because there is a big difference, isn't there? We need to really listen, Christian friend. Listen to this again, Glenn. What is that formula again you were trying to achieve there at the cloister?
I was just saying that we are seeking to develop relationships that are far more than just tolerating someone else and their perspective, whether on something from the church or life in general, but learning to value who they are and understand their position on things and recognize that the Lord of the church and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us in truth and helps us understand and brings us together. And I'm reminded that the work of the Holy Spirit among us never divides. He always...
Indeed.
Always brings together. If we aren't unified, I think we need to ask ourselves the question, why is that?
Indeed. And it doesn't mean we have to give up our doctrine or dogma. Mm-hmm. The great G.K. Chesterton one time said that the image that he likes to use when it comes to Christian unity is dogma. And he says we often think of dogma as a bad thing, but really it's kind of like the boundary between two countries. And if I know where my line is, I can go right up to it and I can hold your hand as we walk along the boundary together. He said otherwise we just will always bounce and hit and twirl, and right. we don't have any kind of steady influence. And
like a pinball machine.
That's right. We never will get together or, as you said, learn to value one another.
Right.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with Dr. Glenn Collard. He is a friend of Epiclesis. I'm proud to say my friend, too. He and his wife, Diane, are in town to talk with us and others about the latest in all of their ministry. In our remaining moments, Glenn, I was wondering if you might just say a brief word about what you hope that Coram Deo, your own ministry, and the ministry of this cloister in Charlotte might do, at least in Charlotte. I mean, what are you hoping to achieve? You've talked about unity, but are you seeing some positive results, and what are you hoping for?
Oh, yes. I enjoy bringing people together, like a couple pastors who didn't know each other, and I brought them together, sat them down, the three of us, having coffee and discussion, because I recognized, since I knew both of those pastors, I recognized that they had a lot of similar thinking, a lot of points at which they could connect, and they just took the conversation away, and I sat back and listened. It was amazing, and they're so I'm seeing, and the value of my Coptic Orthodox priest friend, he is a great brother in the Lord, and he is so, he has such a learner's attitude and a teachable spirit.
How humble he just, that is, yeah.
Yes, he's very humble, and he just wants to participate, and he finds it just very stimulating. In fact, he went with us on our 2 years ago when we, Coram Deo led we were leading a pilgrimage to Ireland to follow the steps of St. Patrick.
Wonderful.
Who is a tremendous influence in missions from the 400s. And he went with us on that trip, and he was just such a wonderful blessing. He was he had on his priestly robe, right. And he has a big, long, white beard.
Right.
But he was wearing a baseball cap and tennis shoes, and he had a selfie stick as he's taking pictures all over the place.
Well, if you're going to climb Slemish Mountain, you do need to have some tennis shoes, right?
Right, that's right.
Well, I'm just so thrilled that you took the time. Thank you for carving out some time to talk with us. Glenn, if folks want to pop over to your website, give us that address, would you?
That would be Coram Deo International.
So that's Coram Deo International.
International, okay. Spell it out, .com. .com, sorry.
.com.
CoramDeoInternational.com.
Well, I want to encourage people to zip over there and get to know you a little better. Glenn, thank you again for joining us.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you, Chris.
Always an honor. Now, folks, before we depart, I want to remind you that we would love to have you come visit us on a Sunday morning. We worship at 4600 Winding Way. It's in Carmichael in Sacramento, at the corner of Winding Way and Pasadena. You can find all the information, as always, at epiclesis.org. But the main thing is we would love to have you come visit us for a Sunday morning. Again, the worship service is at 10:30. Folks, until we gather again for another episode of Ancient Future Faith, I really want you to be thinking about this, would you? Surely, the road to our Christian future really does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the Evangelical Church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi, folks. It's Pastor Chris with one more word before we sign off. The long season after Pentecost is the perfect time to experience worship at Epiclesis, or maybe jump into a small group. There's always something happening at Epiclesis, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. Think about joining us for worship this summer. You'll be warmly welcome.
As always, find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Monday afternoon at 4 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.